Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show from 70% Complete, where we talk about points. I try to drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. That's the tagline of the show. Today's point. We gotta talk about Highgarde, right? We gotta talk about Highgarde. I've had some grumpy episodes lately, and I think if you listen to the show at all, you know how I generally feel about layoffs, studio closures, and the small but vocal army of internet jerks who just kind of want to shout everything down. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago now with the whole like release of Highgarde, and now here we are. The second shoe has dropped on Wild Light's first-ish project and appears to be last project, Highgarde. They are permanently shutting it down. I think there's a lot to talk about here. There's a lot of bummer news as it relates to Highgarde and generally how it's been dealt with. I do want to just it first direct you to wavelengths.online. Brendan Bigley has a really good post about the closure of Wild Light, Highgarde, and generally stuff that I agree with about like the internet being filled with a bunch of rot and assholes. And I think that there is like a larger discussion here to be had about the place of algorithmic shitholes kind of sucking people in and changing internet opinion. It's funny, this is generally just coming to me now, but we've kind of reached the punditification of video games. I don't know how online you were in 2008 or 2012 or 2016 and continually forward, but there's been a kind of cottage industry in like kind of Obama era, probably before then. I think we can look at Fox and Friends and say that that's probably where some of this modern version of it started. But the idea that there are people who just sit around and talk about politics and talk about the news and tell you how you should feel about it. And I guess it's not terribly surprising that mostly right-wing grifters see a grift in being negative Nellies and, just end up being jerks on the internet about things that people are excited about just because they need to find a new target. And it's interesting that, you know, perhaps these people play these games. I suspect they play them for the clips. They go in with a negative Nelly attitude, and then guess what? Come out with that same attitude. Or maybe the game takes off and they have a redemption arc. But I think the thing that's really bothering me about it, specifically with Highgarde, is there's so many things mixed up with this one. Like, it is a well-known group of people who made some of the internet's favorite games. They made a thing that doesn't fit the aesthetic of what those people wanted. They probably took some amount of money from Tencent, which is all a whole other separate thing. They launched as the one more thing at Jeff Keighley's The Game Awards, when it sounds like that was a quagmire to begin with. There's just a lot going on with this game that, you know, I think that perhaps they didn't capitalize on the Game Awards thing with, you know, a month and a half of Radio Silence after that. But really, I think we need to set the Highgarde like media strategy and all of that stuff aside for 1 second, because what Highgarde is just the latest, you know, firebrand for people to gather around who have shitty opinions. And like, you can not like Highgarde, you can not like Marathon, hell, you could not like Helldivers. I don't really care. But I think that there is this new pundit class of people on the internet, and it's not terribly new, but it is newer, where their entire deal, like their entire incentive structure, their entire persona, and the money that they gain from the internet, because most likely these people are gaining money from the internet, is founded in, like, disliking something. Like, they're not, you know, people aren't coming to them because they're excited about the thing that they're playing. You know, you go to these people and you look at their clips and you watch their videos, you watch their streams, and it's just a bunch of angry people being mad about other people having fun, or angry people being mad about other people being excited. And it really starts to, like, crystallize into this sense that, like, they're not gamers. Like, they're not here to have fun. Like, they're not here to interact with media. They're not here to engage with themes and plot points and, like, innovation in a way that is interesting or compelling. They're simply just here to be mad. And because they've been able to monetize being mad on the internet, because, you know, we all have a little bit of a hater in us. I will own up to that. But I think that's the part that really bothers me, is that, like, there is no, like, whether it is a live service game, you know, people, they're already coming for Bungie, coming for Marathon. But whether it's a live service game or, you know, any other type of game, Dragon Age Veilguard, that is, in my book, a 7 or an 8 out of 10 video game. I had a blast playing that game. Did it have some rough edges? Yes, it did. But I love that game. But before that game even came out, and literally the entire reason I have a video essay channel is because of Dragon Age Veilguard and people coming to that game filled with hate before, you know, months before it even came out, is that, like, just let people have a thing. Like, let it happen. Like, let it come out. Let us feel things about it. Let us see things about it. But that's not where the incentive structure is, because ultimately these algorithms, Twitter, Jesus, Twitter, like, there is a certain amount of fabricated hate that is probably even not even genuine. Like, either it is genuine because these people are just, like, grumpy Gusses who just are filled with rage and hatred about things that are different, which, let's talk about the pipeline from video game hater to the alt-right grifter. Yeah, like, you know, Nick Fuentes started somewhere, guys. Like, here we are. So I think the thing about Highguard that is disappointing to me is it should have been given a chance, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff going on with that game, with, like, the money structure and the corporate structure and, like, 100+ devs working on that team. Like, that is a really big project that needs to hit it out of the park immediately. But, like, does it? Like, does it need to hit it out of the park immediately, or based on what they are rolling out? Like, they permanently canceled that game. Like, it is done. In the next 2 weeks before the servers go offline, they are adding a new character. Like, they have stuff in the pipeline that is ready to go. And they've been pretty vocal about that from the beginning, that, like, we're listening to feedback, we're rolling stuff out. They, you know, upped the player count on some of the modes. Like, they're doing it. Like, they're doing the live service thing. And I think the big struggle I'm having with this is, like, I'm nervous for Bungie at this point. You know, like, any team that is making a new thing, like, any team that is making a new thing, again, back to Veilguard, right? Like, that was a different kind of game than people wanted. Like, we're preparing for the Prey episode of the Content Mill. I'm watching the NoClip documentary about Prey, and guess what? That game has such a pall over it now, knowing that Arcane Austin is gone, that, like, you start a new IP, you try to do something interesting and something new, and it is some people's favorite game of all time, but because of the corporate incentive structure and what these games need to actually, you know, quote-unquote need to do to maximize profits and shareholder value and all of that stuff, like, this is why you get remakes, right? Like there's the functional part of it where remakes exist to fill the gaps between ever expanding game timelines, but also you need a horse you can bet on. And as much as I love Prey 2017, it is very clear that that game is specifically laser targeted for me and not for a lot of people. And I think that that should be okay. Like, that should be fine. Like, you should be able to sustain your studio. You should be able to, like, sustain your company with a double, not a home run. Like, you should be able to, like, you know, keep going. And that is what ended up happening with Prey. Like, that game did okay. And then Bethesda got bought by Microsoft. And then Microsoft said, actually, our incentive structure is very different. And hey, this quirky vampire game you got here, wouldn't it be nice if it was a live service game? And here we go again, right? Like, you've made an online game that needs to hit, like, astronomic goals because everyone's still chasing Fortnite because they're all fucking idiots. And we can't just live with a, like, mostly fine, grow into a great game. Because that's not how it works anymore. Like, everyone has to pitch because money... You know, we're not in the COVID money boom where just the economics of COVID being where you could loan money for less money than it actually... Like, it doesn't make any sense. But listen, world economics, what have you, bonkers times. But this is the thing that kind of bothers me about Highguard, is that this game very clearly was a base hit. Like, it wasn't going to be a home run. I don't think it ever would have been had, like, you know, had Keeley not got his sticky Keeley fingers in there, had they launched with their normal media strategy, had they avoided all of, most of, at least, the internet haters. Like, I think this game is still not much better off than where it is right now. And that should be okay. They had a lot of players. Like, when you talk about the amount of people playing that game, there were a lot of people playing that game. There were more people playing that game than were playing 95% of all of Steam. Like, when we think about the scale, when we look at the size of the video game industry and the amount of games that come out every single day, the amount of demos in Steam Next Fest, Highguard was doing great. It just wasn't doing great enough for the investors to deal with the amount of people that they hired to make that game. And I think that that's the part where this breaks down. Like, the economics of game making only make sense in certain instances. And this is something I will come back to time and time again, is that you play through some of your favorite video games. Maybe it's not Marathon, maybe it's not, you know, even Helldivers. Like, maybe it is just, like, these smaller experiences. But if you ever play an indie game, go to the bottom of the credits. And at the bottom of those credits, you will most likely see a game fund, an art fund, a fund of taxpayer dollars from countries that are better than the United States in their support of the arts. And you will see that Ontario, you will see Toronto, you will see all of these city and province and country-based games funds that are supplementing the arts in a country. That's because these things don't make sense to make. Like, you cannot hire a team of 100 people and have a game that has 2 million players for free and somehow manage to eke all of this out. And I think that that's where this all breaks down for me, is that, like, we need to support these devs. The incentive structure for the companies is out of whack, but also the motives and, like, the economics of how to sell these games is out of whack with players. Like, how many times have you heard people complain about $70 video games? How many times have I personally complained about the $20 Fire Red and Leaf Green Pokemon stuff? Like, how you pay for games is completely out of whack, and it is not to support the devs. Like that is ultimately where this falls down. Unless it is like actually truly independent studios, your money is being split up and shared with the giant pool of everyone else. Starfield, for not an independent game, but like every dollar that you paid to Microsoft for Starfield did not go to Bethesda. That goes to Microsoft, and Microsoft figures out where that money goes, how it splits it all up. And you look at something like Highguard, and that game is free to play. They have incredibly active development. Their hope is to monetize on the back end with all of that. And I think that like the economics of Highguard mixed with the absolutely rotten sentiment of some of the internet, the vocal some of the internet, had just like absolutely squashed that game. But really, I think it always comes down to like their reputation was poisoned by these shitty people on the internet that somehow get signal boosted by, like, that is a story. Like, that is a thing to talk about Highguard. Public sentiment, bad. And then, you know, that ripples out. Like, the moment that a publication publishes a story about how people don't like Highguard, or you have to write a story that is, Highguard is good, actually, I think you've already lost. And that's, part of that is on, you know, the platforms for platforming stuff that is, like truly hateful, not just like I don't like this game because it exists, but I think it's that truly hateful stuff that sucks. It is the monetary incentive structures of these studios and how the modern consumer is at odds with the motives of these companies and like what they need to survive. And then ultimately, I think you should be able to get away with, you know, a base hit. And sure, maybe there's some mismanagement going on there. I don't actually know. I have not seen the wild light financials, but I don't know. It just, it's kind of a big bummer that we are here in video games where something so cool and unique as Highguard can come out and the first thing isn't, wow, look at how they've taken like the Battlefield Conquest mechanic and mixed it with like a hero shooter. Like, there's some interesting stuff going on with this game. I hope that they get time to work on it. It's, this game is dead on arrival, and it like turns into the like the will this prime minister last longer than this head of lettuce, where the head of lettuce is Concord. And it's just shitty. Like, having some sort of weird lottery associated with the death of a video game, like the death of creative work, it's just bad. Like, it, I think it all comes back to like increase in gambling in the world. Like, talking about Highguard is such a tough thing because I think it meshes some of the worst parts of the internet with some of the worst late-stage capitalist reactions that we have in the world we have right now, mixed with the terrible political climate. You know, like, it's tough to say Highguard failed because of X reason, when really X reason of that is three steps back from what is actually going on. Like, does Highguard fail as much if there's not a, like, resurgence of gambling? Like, if Polymarket doesn't exist, does Highguard die? Which is a wild sentence. Like, I completely understand. But, like, if you can't get paid for tweets, does Highguard die? I feel like no. You know, like, if the rise of the alt-right did not happen in 2016 and continues to rise and be platformed in 2026, does Highguard die? Probably not. Like, maybe Highguard doesn't exist either, but, like, I think you have to, like, go through so many hoops to, like, get to the root cause of the root causes of what has happened to Highguard, and it just is disappointing because I know that people love this game. I know people who enjoyed playing Highguard. I know people who are waiting for that next update to play more Highguard, and to know that that is the end of Highguard, for a lot of reasons, but to have people cheering on the death of Highguard because of those reasons is just such a true bummer. Like, you should play what you love. Like, you should go play new games. You should try new things, learn new things about yourself. You should try new things that come out, especially if they are free-to-play games. Like, go meet new friends. Go play with your friends. And then leave. And if you don't like it, say, here are the, you know, three reasons I don't like it. But, like, have reasons, not just because it exists. Like, that's not valid. Like, almost all feedback about video games and criticism, valid. That one, not so much. Like, just play new things. If you don't like it, don't play it. Don't come back to it. I have plenty of games that I play for one or two sittings and then say, oh, this isn't for me. See you later. And that's it. You don't gotta post about it. So I guess that's today's point. Sometimes you just don't gotta post about it. Also, always think of the material conditions. That's point number two. Point number two, think of the material conditions. Point number three, just play video games, dude. Have some fun. Meet some people. Because then maybe we'll all get to ride a cool bear. But now we can't, because you didn't do that. All right. This has been an overlong episode of Point to Point. Thanks for hanging out. To all you high guard players out there, I'm sorry the world sucks. You deserved better. You deserve to be able to ride that bear. I'm sorry. All right. Have a good rest of your day. We'll see you out there. Go play something fun. Or touch some grass. Or here, touch some snow. Lots of snow here. Go touch the snow. Warm up your hands. Have some hot chocolate. Have a good day. See ya.